get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie, man, episode 159. As usual, we're your host, Scott and Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Net. And of course, subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. $5 package, $10 package. If you're watching this, this means you are a $10 subscriber. We appreciate y'all. And as you can see, we have our own little background now. Shout out to my brother for finally fucking making a background. Like, I think we're pretty much good on, we just really need a Summer Sessions background, and we need one for, you know, we got like one for Cinema with the Guys, but it's like, it's only when like me and him are on there. It's like, you know, if anybody knows my brother, he's a nigga, so it'll get to when we get to, but we got it here. So quick programming update for everybody who are avid Barbershare Network listeners. There will be no Cinema with the Guys on either show this week. Me and my brother are going to Vegas tomorrow. But when you're hearing this, we'll be going to Vegas tonight for the NFL draft. We'll be out of town till Saturday covering the draft. So no Cinema with the Guys, no Summer Sessions, no third pick. Even though the bull season will be over by the end of the week, so expect me and Mariano to just recap the season next week. Me and Dante will break down two episodes of Winning Time next week. And me and my brother will break down two episodes of Moon Knight, the last two episodes of Moon Knight, and then I'm guessing then after that we'll give y'all Doctor Strange review pod the week after that, so y'all have time to go see the fucking movie and shit. So, and there'll be no Summer Sessions this week. So
that last episode of Moon Knight threw me the fuck off for the last 10 minutes of the episode, I should say.
Well, it threw me off too, but I'll be watching this videos like this YouTube page. We're giving free promo here, but it's a YouTube page called Heavy Spoilers, where like these niggas go like real in depth with each episode, and that was kind of more of his conscience, like what's been going on in his brain after he got shot. It threw me off for a loop too. I was watching, I was also half asleep when I watched it, like, because you know, I get, it's like 10, like when you get in your 30s, I don't know if you had the same issue, but like when I get my 30s, once I get past like 10-15, nigga, I am fighting sleep.
Oh yeah, like, no, that's natural,
fighting it, bro. Like, and then, like, sometimes I'll wake up, like, I'll knock out my couch and I'll wake up and I'll be up for, like, the next 2-3 hours. Like, yesterday I was fighting sleep like a motherfucker, like 11. I was like, man, let me just get up, go to this bed. You know what I'm saying? And then I was wide the fuck awake till, like, damn near 3 o'clock in the fucking morning, which is probably why I'm so damn tired right now. So that explains a lot. But y'all don't want to hear about my old nigga sleeping habits. So let's get into the games, man. When y'all listen to this, it'll be Wednesday. So a couple of these series we talking about will, you know, already kind of be, you know, in a different place. But we're going to talk about them shits up to this point any fucking way. So I want to start off with something that isn't basketball, current basketball. And since we don't have Cinema with the Guys this week, I wanted to touch on it. Jerry West. Mr. West, my friend Jerry West. I'm gonna keep saying that. My friend Jerry West. What are you doing? He's out here even going even further with the Winning Time hate, saying that he wants an apology and he will take this to the Supreme fucking court.
Jerry, nigga. Brother West, stop.
Brother
it.
West, what are we doing here? Number one, fuck up. This will not go to the Supreme Court. Number at two. All. The more angry you all are about this, the more it looks like that they might have really nailed your character. You know what I'm saying? That's something that stood out to me. And I'm looking for it right here. But HBO released a press release on that today. Here we go.
Go ahead.
From HBO. HBO has a long history of producing compelling content drawn from actual facts and events that are fictionalized in part for dramatic purposes. Winning Time is not a documentary and has not been presented as such. However, this series and its depictions are based on extensive factual research and reliable sourcing. And HBO stands absolutely behind our talented creators and cast who have brought a dramatization of this epic chapter in basketball history to the screen. That told him to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I mean, and they got a very valid point, bro, because it's like it's not HBO's fault that people are idiots and take these things as fact and run with it. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with HBO. They make it known before and after every episode that this is a dramatization based on real events. It's not a fact by fact recount of what happened with the Showtime Dynasty.
Right.
And so people are just dumb, bro. But Jerry, this looks silly. This is like old, like I said, old man barking at the clouds. This is one of those really.
This is like what Jerry and the show would do. Yeah. Like what Jerry and the show would do. You know,
kind of proving them right.
I'm kind of proving them right. I'm gonna do what white people said. Come on, Jer. Come on, Jer. Let's do something else, Jer. Worry about Kawhi Leonard walking next season. Like, let's think about other things. And so that's the shit that I took from it, man. And if, like I said, if I'm Adam McKay, I'm smiling like a fucking. Like a fucking cat, nigga. Like, nigga, y'all just keep watching my fucking show. Like, this is the shit that I want. And it's from a heavily sourced book. Like, so I'm glad they put that in the press release. Showtime is a heavily sourced book, bro. Like, none of this shit is not just shit they just pulling out their fucking ass. So,
you know what I'm saying? Outside of, like, Dr. Buss crying in the lady titties and then just going in. That was wild to say. That was probably the wildest part of the show so far for me.
Yeah, like, it was very wild.
The magic shit don't move me because he said he did all of this wild shit. So
he said that right there was not to extent. You know, and even magic, and magic hasn't gone full. Don't watch that shit. He just said, no, I got my own shit coming out. Like magic hasn't been on the PR tool. Like they had Kareem old ass probably up at 3:30 in the morning writing the goddamn blog. Like, you know, magic is doing. Speaking of Mr. Irvin Johnson, I watched this documentary called They Call Me Magic on Apple TV Plus. By the way, Apple TV Plus has a lot of great content. Like it's probably my second favorite streamer my third. I love Disney Plus after HBO and Disney Plus. HBO has such a stranglehold on my life. Like,
yeah,
I just love, and We Own This City is great. I saw the first episode.
I just added it to my list. It just had that vibe, but this is gonna be good.
Yeah, it's from David Simon, who was producer of The Wire, and there's so many Wire actors on this show. Like I was having like a Wire, it was like the Wire Bizarro. I don't want to give up which people were in there outside of the ones they promoted. Obviously, Jamie Hector, who is Marlo, is in the show. But you'll see the other surprises that intercepts. One episode, I'm hooked, but. I saw the Magic Johnson doc. They Call Me Magic. It's a 4-part documentary on the life and times of one Irvin Magic Johnson, which is something. It was kind of like the gift and the curse that Last Dance gave us. You know what I'm saying? Last Dance is as captivating as it was, and I can't believe it's been 2 years already. Now everybody wants a goddamn documentary, and that's not here to say that Magic Johnson doesn't deserve a documentary. I don't want to come off like this is fucking Magic fucking Johnson. He might still be the most popular nigga in LA 30 years after he's played. Like he still damn near might be the most popular dude. So Magic deserves it. You know, all these, I get it. But it was a cool documentary, but my problem was this. Very cookie cutter. Now, granted, me and you we're basketball heads, we're sports heads. I've seen more Magic Johnson documentaries, Laker documentaries I can fucking count. So really nothing, there was nothing new I got from it. Even as much as of a basketball, I mean, Michael Jordan historian I am, there's still like one or two things that I didn't know from Last Dance. And one thing I loved about it was Michael was way more open in this than Magic was in it. This felt like Magic, like PR Magic. Like I didn't feel like he brought the walls down in this one. Like we never saw Michael Jordan talk about, you know, the Republicans buy sneakers thing, which was something that I thought was dope to see. It was nothing in this that he wasn't really honest about, you know, him fucking around. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just real kind of, I did things I wasn't proud of. Like, give me more in a documentary about your life is what I wanted more. And the other one I got is he drug Cookie around for a goddamn decade. Now, obviously, it worked out for her. You know, obviously, they still together. You know, he's a fucking billionaire. So, obviously, she won. He drug her through the mud for a fucking decade. And I give him that. He was very honest about that. But I just felt like for him to be telling people, oh, you know, I'm not worried about that show. There was like three stories that were in fucking Winning Time. Like he's, oh yeah, you know, I came in there with a boombox. Cap didn't like that. I was like, oh, that was like episode 3. So there was just certain things out there that I was just like, it was cool, but it was just too cookie cutter for me.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, I know a lot of these things were in the works already. You know, they don't just pop shit up. So Magic's documentary could have very well been in the works before Winning Time. But,
Winning Time's been in the works since 2014. It's been a long road for that show.
Magic ain't really, you know, this didn't pique my interest. I knew what it was. I knew what it was going to be when I saw the trailer for it. So, I mean, I may tap in just to see, you know, the other legends speak on Magic because that's always dope to see, but. I'm not expecting no revelations. And like the whole cookie thing, that's a situation that he only gets away with because he was Magic. Anybody else, he would be getting dogged for that.
Exactly.
He's Magic. you know.
Exactly. He's mad. He gets away with shit. Like, and you know, I'll say they were really open about you know, him and his son towards the end. I think that was an open part of the episode. But
yeah, the son that I didn't know about until last episode.
No, not that one. Big folks. EJ.
Oh, EJ. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You said the son, you ain't know about it. I'm still laughing. You didn't know this nigga had a son before.
I said, what? And then it's crazy because then they talked about it in Winning Time. I'm like, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, nigga, I ain't know. Yeah, yeah. And they talked about that on the show. On the documentary, how he came to Lansing for like a weekend for some shit, and he introduced Cookie to his son, like, oh, I got a 5-year-old. Like, I was like, man, she must have really loved this nigga, because
yeah, okay. Oh, so the kid wasn't her friends. That was some more Hollywood.
No, that
shit.
Was
okay.
Made up. Yeah. And I don't even know if in the show if that might have been an abortion. I don't even know if they're gonna go through with it on the show as that was his kid's mother, but you know, but nah, in this one, it was, I was like, yeah, you really love that nigga. Hey, she's a billionaire, so I guess it worked out for her. But that's all I really had to say about that. You know, we'll get into more detail about Winning Time next week. We'll break down two episodes. But let's get into basketball. The Boston Celtics have completed a sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. They're the first team to advance in the 2022 playoffs. Dominant effort all the way through, a great defensive effort. They won 116-112. Jason Tatum put 29 points up. What's his face? Adam Silver tried to put a call in last night with a couple of them bullshit fouls. Did not work. Tatum put average damn near 30 in this series. What's your feel about this whole series? Because, you know, yeah, even though I think you picked the Celtics, I picked the Nets, but I didn't see a sweep happening.
Yeah, I know. I definitely didn't see a sweep. I thought it was going to be like a 6-game series or something like that, bro. But, I mean, it's showing you that. And we're going to get into this a little later, but just relying on two guys, that's always not the way to go. And, like, you know, we saw this team, even though, like I said, I felt like they won the Ben Simmons trade. When you don't have Ben on the court, you know, he's not performing. So you don't get that added bonus to your team. You really lay it all on KD and Kyrie. And with the lack of experience Steve Nash has, we saw it. He got out-coached, like. Like, it was insane, like, the way that the Boston Celtics had their defensive sets and the way that they were guarding KD and Kyrie, and they continued to just pass one of them the ball and let them dribble up the court. Like, there were no sets being ran. There was no way trying to get them easy shots. It was just, all right, we're going to just keep playing iso ball. Y'all do your thing and figure it out. And, you know, throughout the season, you had Kyrie making style. We don't need a coach and blah, blah, blah. But, like, the Nets low-key deserve to get swept. The way this season is going, they deserve to lose like that. So, I mean – It's disappointing if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan. It's disappointing if you KD, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, KD, he has to play better, and you know what I'm saying, that's a given. But at the same time, he was getting locked the fuck up. Like, between the defensive player of the year and just their secondary players, they were on him all four games. So he had 39 in game in the closeout, but. I'm not putting as much blame on KD as I am the rest of that team.
Right, and we'll get into that later in the show, because I feel like, you know, and it's Twitter. You know, Twitter is, you know, they just want to hop on anybody, you know, when they lose. That's why I'm glad I'll be 30,000 feet in the air when the Bulls get eliminated on Wednesday, because I will react. But you know, I feel like KD is getting a little bit too much. We'll talk about the minute. But as far as the Celtics, and I feel like that's the story of it. I feel like I hate when teams – are dominant like this, and then we always talk about what the other team do to lose. Let's talk about the niggas that won, especially when they won in this dominant fucking fashion. The Celtics are for real. Now, I'm not, like, picking them to go to the finals yet, because I still want to see them against teams that run a little thing called, I don't know, actual offense before I, you know, put too much dip on that chip. But they proved a lot to me. This is, to me, is a great built team. You know what I'm saying? You know, and Jason Tatum is taking that leap. Jaylen Brown was great. Marcus Smart, one of my favorite players in the league. Me and you said we picked him as our defense player of the year because we wanted to see a guard win it, and he eventually ended up getting it. But we're just dominance front to back. Front to back, this team has been lights out since All-Star break. Lights out. And Ime Udoka has got to get all the credit in the world for where they turned this ship around. And it was just a laser focus to me. You know, in the first two games were really, really close. The second game, the Nets had a 17-point lead in the second half. They're able to come back. And it's like every time the Nets thought they were going to get close, whether in the series, and especially in game 4, then Celtics came right back with another hit. Just hit them in the mouth right a fucking way. And it's like they showed no fucking fear. You know, and I love something that, you know, Marcus Smart said in the post game really stood out to me. And I know me and a lot of people tweeted, damn, they really want to play Boston. I mean, play Brooklyn in the first round. And Marcus Smart was like, yo, we want to play these motherfuckers eventually. So we might as well get out the fucking way now. So I love that attitude. You know, I love this Celtic team. I just can't root for the Celtics because they're the fucking Celtics. And I just can't fucking root for the fucking Celtics. And it's not like, you know, yeah. I don't even know have a reason why I don't like the Celtics. Maybe just because Boston's racist.
It's just the city of Boston. You know, it might be the city
of Boston. The only thing I ever liked from Boston was Tom Brady. But, you know, that's probably what it is. But I just can't root for them. But they got likable fucking players, man. I love everything they're doing over there. And they dominate. And I think this upcoming series against Milwaukee is going to be a fucking slugfest. And Milwaukee get away without having Chris Middleton against our bum ass. But they're going to need Chris Middleton against Boston. So we'll preview that series when it becomes official, which will, when you listen to that, the series will be official tonight. Because Alex Caruso is in concussion protocol, and our boy Zach has COVID for the fourth time, and I will get on that later in the show.
Insanity.
You know, so that series will be, we'll preview that next week, but I think that's going to be a very entertaining series. So it brings me to the next question. Is Jason Tatum a top five star now, or do you need to see more?
I definitely need to see more, but I think this is a continuation of what we saw a couple years ago when people were trying to crown him, you know, right after everything with Kobe, because he was a Kobe disciple. Everybody like, you know, he's next up, you know.
And as a Kobe fan, I'm tired of everybody comparing somebody to Kobe just because he gave them niggas a mama mentality hoodie. Like,
right. I mean, yeah,
that
like,
nigga's
I get it,
game they, reminds me nothing of Kobe.
Yeah, like I get it. They all went to the Kobe camp, but, you know, you don't have to, you know, just call everybody the next, you know, second coming of Kobe. But I think with Jason Tatum, you're really starting to see, you are starting to see those flashes of an elite player. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? For him to average 29-7 and 5 this series, bro, on 45% shooting. Yeah, and playing lockup defense. And that's my thing. When you can do it on both sides of the ball, and that goes for him and Jaylen Brown. And I think that's what makes the Celtics so dangerous, bro, because you have a team full of elite defenders who also, yeah, you know, share the ball together. So, but for Jason Tatum, I think the averaging, a lot of people don't know he averaged 7 assists this series. So,
you know, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he shares the ball as well as scores, and he's shown that he is an elite scorer. So, I think he's on the cusp of that top five, but I think he's solidified himself in that conversation when we talk about the future of the league and those guys that are up next. Jason is definitely in that first group.
I agree with that 100%. I feel like this whole postseason, we're kind of like seeing, you know, the change in the guard, you know, and I'll talk about that later in the show about, you know, that. But Tatum, I wouldn't say he's top five yet. He's definitely knocking on the door. I want to see a little bit more. If he can get this team to the finals, then I think we have something to talk about. Especially when it comes to all NBA lists, we're going to have some real discussion about that. But he's becoming a star. He's becoming a star. He's knocking on the superstar level, and that's something that you need in the NBA. And this is something that, you know, when we looked about, you know, when you're talking about the Bulls, when, you know, we can look about game three and game four. You know, game three, I felt like it was no effort from the Bulls. Game four, I feel like they tried. It's just a clear talent difference between the two teams. And I love Zach, but I don't think he's a superstar. So an NBA is a superstar league. Until you get one of them ones, you're not going to win the championship. It's just really that fucking simple. You know, you're not going to get the days of the 2004 Pistons, which didn't happen a lot, period. But that type of shit's never going to happen again. It's kind of like in the NFL. You're not going to win a Super Bowl by just having a great running game, a great defense, and just a managing quarterback. That's not going to happen. If you ain't got one of them elite guys, you're not winning shit. And it's the same thing, man. I think Boston finally has one. You've just been seeing the progression with Tatum each year. You know what I'm saying? I think in this series, he went face-to-face with KD and was like, this is my shit now. KD got outplayed in every facet of the fucking game. And so that's why I love when I saw from Jason Tatum.
Yeah, definitely, bro. And I think we can't forget, Jaylen Brown is a problem. Like, they didn't have him in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown gave you 22-5-4. So he wasn't too far behind Jason Tatum. And so, you know, him doing his thing, like you said, Marcus Smart playing point, you know what I'm saying, running point, you know, actually being productive on offense. He averaged 16 a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, being doing that and being the defensive player of the year, like you said, this team is definitely set up to make that run. And Jason Tatum is the leader on that squad. And that's another thing that we didn't see in Brooklyn, and we're about to get into that. But you see the leadership on this team. Yeah. Like, it's a clear pecking order. And nobody, like, so last year, that kind of, you heard Marcus Smart make his comments about we need to do X, Y, and Z. But it seems like with Udoka, everybody's bought in. There's no complaining. There's no extra comments. And people are hooping.
Yep. Yep, for sure. And, like, you need a solid number two, like Jaylen Brown. And he came in there, and when Jason Tatum got fouled out in the game, you know, every time the Nets would make a run, he come Brown with a clutch three, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, making a good, you know, getting to the basket. And that's one thing I love about the Celtics was every time the Nets would come close, they would get to the basket. They weren't doing what the Bulls doing, settle for jump shots. They were going to the fucking basket. Al Horford was huge. He's making a lot of threes. You know, others really stepped up. You know, I think in these playoffs in general, you're seeing how much the others are important. You know, Dallas is a big part of that, you know, seeing what's going on with them. You know, Robert Williams has been great coming back from injury. Grant Williams, you know, his goofy hooping. Looking ass.
Yeah.
He been hooping. You know what I'm saying? You've been seeing everybody, even you got niggas like Pritchard been giving baskets, and this has been an overall team effort. So I really love everything they're building in Boston. Now, the story that everybody wants to talk about, what does this sweep mean for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? And I think with this, KD played a bad series. Let's just keep it a buck. He did not play well. You know, and yeah, he had 39 points in game four, but the nigga missed a clutch free throw. He missed a big three towards the end. So I'm not gonna give him a round of applause for that. You know what I'm saying? I think Charles Barkley said a lot of stuff this weekend. I feel like a lot of people got upset about, but there was some truth in it. You know, Charles Barkley saying that, you know, when you're a star, you're supposed to win two games by yourself. And they were talking about that with Trae Young too. And I 100% agree with that. And I know KD is my man. He's one of my favorite players. Like, KD's my second favorite player in the league after, of course, you know, my nigga Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you just got to shut the fuck up and take an L. Like, sometimes you just got to shut the fuck up and take an L. And, you know, him putting the pictures of Charles Barkley on the Rockets and the Phoenix. I mean, not Phoenix, but Philly. It was like, bro, this nigga Chuck is like 50-something. He don't have an Instagram. So he doesn't see this. Number one, out of all the niggas on planet Earth, you think Charles Barkley gives a fuck? No.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. It's only you're not doing nothing making yourself look crazy, and you're putting your anger in the wrong fucking directions. And if you want context to that, yeah, he played with Moses Malone and Dr. J, but he was drafted by the Sixers. You know what I'm saying? And yes, he went to Houston, but that was an old-ass fucking team. And I still think he has a little insecurity about going to Golden State. Now, what Charles Barkley said about the bus riders, which was funny because you could tell Kenny clearly got in his fucking feelings. They were dunking on Kenny all fucking weekend.
Yeah, but that was facts. He was like, when Charles Barkley said that and he started laughing at that smirk on his face, Shaq gave him that point. Yeah. Like, he knew exactly what he was talking about, bro. Like, that bus rider, you got people like what Drake said, bench players talking like starters. Nigga, like, stop. Like, you have a lot of people who do that and want to act like, you know, even when Dwight Howard did all that crying, like, people got mad when Shaq said that, but Shaq was right. All that, don't give up on your dreams. Don't fight that, bro. You play 15 minutes a game. Sit down. Like, sit the fuck down.
And that's how people get mad at Kenny and not Kenny, but like Shaq and Chuck. But I'm like, what Shaq say? I'm G14 classified. You can't say nothing about this nigga because he did it. And he's honest with himself. Shaq said, look, I've been sweating more than any superstar in the league. I wasn't good enough. And so there's that honesty right there. But they were dunking on Kenny. And also Shaq told Kenny, you'll never understand what me and Chuck went through, which is real shit. But when it comes to KD and that Golden State team, yes, KD was the best player on those teams, but he was not the bus driver. The bus driver to that team was Stephen Curry, and it has always been Stephen Curry. You got the best looks of your career because there was four niggas on Steph. And that's not taking anything away from KD. Steph doesn't win those rings without KD. KD was the finals MVP, should have been the finals MVP. But he was not the engine of that Golden State Warrior team. And I think that's what Chuck was trying to get across, not saying that KD wasn't a great player.
No, yeah, exactly, bro. And then you see him come into Brooklyn and there's no leadership, you know, there's no real, like, we saw him take over the Milwaukee series, but that was just more so by default because everybody else was hurt.
Yep.
But when you've seen the stars on the court, there's still no certainty to who's the guy. And, you know, that's going to be a problem with Kevin, and that's been a problem. And like you said, he is definitely fucking my bad. He is definitely, you know, saying sensitive about that shit, like 100%.
Yeah,
and it comes out often. So like it's man, to me it shouldn't be like that because you are one of the best to do it. And you know what I'm saying, you made that move. You know, any move you make, you should be able to back it up and have your reasonings. And for KD, you know, for whatever it be, even though he's given his reasons for it, he still gets touchy over it. Like you said, throwing up the pictures of Chuck with Hakeem and all of that's pointless. That's silly, funny, bro.
Especially after the performance you just put up. And it's like, this is my thing about KD. And I'm not going to tell anybody how they should feel. Everybody ain't like me. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I've learned since being in my 30s. Stop expecting people to act like me. When I say I truly don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. Now, I feel like every person on planet Earth cares to an extent. When I say I don't give a fuck, that means I'm not going to change what I'm doing because what somebody thinks of me. That's what I mean by I don't give a fuck. If I was KD, I would tell y'all to kiss my ass every day. I'm a champion. I did what the fuck I had to do. And anybody brings up 73-9, last time I checked, the Warriors lost that fucking series. And that's the thing about 73-9. People always want to use it when it's like, they either use the slander stuff or to slander KD. Which one is it? Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? We need to decide how we feel about that record. And so that's how I feel about that. But I will give KD this. Out of everybody involved with that Brooklyn Nets organization, to me, he's the one who cares the most. I will give him that. And he deserves slander for the way he played. But let's not take the focus off the real villain here. And that is Kyrie Irving. There's a couple great Twitter names. Step Back Sevy. I saw motherfucking up and under Umar, which is a great one. Islamic ISO, which is a great one. Shout out my man Larry Legend. This is the true villain here. This motherfucker, two quotes in the last two games, I was like, nobody doesn't read the room more than Kyrie Irving. After game three, when y'all blew a lead, this nigga said, oh, well, we never had time to get together. I wonder who fucking fault was that. It was you, my nigga. And I'm not here to argue about vaccines for the 100th fucking time. I'm tired of the vaccine conversation in general right now. Do what you want to do, whatever. But there's consequences for that. You can't sit up here and talk about we ain't had no time to jail when you were the main reason y'all ain't had time to jail. Like, you didn't even play half the fucking season. And then after you lose game four, you get swept. You up here doing handshakes with Tatum and smiling, tapping niggas on the head, and then you go on a podium talking about, oh, well, you know, I'm here with Kev, and I can't wait to manage this team with Kev and Sean. What the fuck you mean, manage the team?
He want to be Bron so bad.
Like, dude. What are you? But even Bron wouldn't say that. Like, I have my LeBron James faults, obviously. But one thing I will give LeBron don't go up there a lot of times and talk to us like I'm fucking stupid. Like, we all know LeBron runs the Lakers, but LeBron don't go up there and say, oh, I'm managing this with Rob and Jeannie. He don't say shit like that. Like, Kyrie, you're playing in my fucking face. And Kyrie had one game where he was great and went MIA for the rest of the damn series. Why was Bruce Brown playing harder than you in every game outside of game one? That doesn't make any sense. If I was the Nets, and they're not going to happen because KD got them niggas in a vice grip, I would trade this nigga. Now, the problem is, who the fuck would trade for KD?
Yeah, that's the issue. You can, like, that's the issue. As much as you get angry with him and want to trade him, I don't think as a team in the league, as great as his talent is, and then we always say, oh, no, there's room for – who the fuck wants Kyrie right now? Like, realistically, especially – it's two players who I feel like are untradeable, and they both play for Brooklyn.
And they both on the same team.
Right, Kyrie and Ben Simmons. Like, who wants them on their squad right now? There's too much uncertainty and too many dollars tied to them for me to be like, yeah, let's run it. Because, no, hell no.
But what's your thoughts on the whole thing with Kyrie? I could really rant on this nigga all day. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm done making excuses for Kyrie, especially like when you're not performing on the basketball court and just had the audacity to come up here and say this wild ass shit. It's like, all right, bro, you playing in our face now at this point. Like you say, it comes like if you're performing on the court, certain things we let it slide, you know what I'm saying, when you say it. Because like, all right, he's performing. So, you know, clearly he's walking the walk and talking the talk. But with Kyrie, it's just a lot more talk than walking these days. And, you know, like you said, the whole vaccine shit is what it is. But for you to just be that I'm trying to think of the word to use, but just that separated from reality. That delusional Well, you sit here and say, well, damn, we didn't really have time to make that work this year. And it's like, yeah, bro, because you miss half the games. Right. Like, the lack of self-awareness, that's the word I'm looking for. The lack of self-awareness to be like, yeah, you know, because the perfect thing for him to say is like, you know, I missed half the games this year. We didn't really have a chance to get going to do our thing. And it's, you know, on me. Like, just say that. It's the truth. But, you know, we also have these expectations of accountability for athletes that they really don't have to have. Like, you know what I'm saying? Kyrie ain't got to say shit. But in this scenario, it's just like, bro, this is clearly on you. And, like, my only thing with KD, and this goes into our next topic, which we'll get into in a second, but you should have never traded for James Harden. I'm like, y'all had a good bench. Y'all had an actual, like, two tiers of players that could come in. You had guys that can come in and hold a lead, you know what I'm saying, when you were on the bench. But then when you go all in on the super team, and then even though I think, like I said earlier, I think they did win the Ben Simmons trade, it was just too much when you don't have a coach who can actually maintain those personalities.
You know what's funny about the Ben Simmons trade? I tweeted yesterday that no matter what happens, Daryl Morey won just because of how much of a bozo Ben Simmons is. But I don't know if anybody won that shit, man. Like, you know, and we're going to get to the Sixers in a minute. But my last thing on the Nets is, you know, I know KD got to have a moment where he like, I left the Bay Area for this.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I definitely agree with Bob Myers, and then probably took him for granted, probably.
But, was the love really worth all of this? The love you said you didn't get?
Was it worth dealing with this bozo shit? Like, he's been on the team for 3 years now. Like, I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand. You know, and of course, a lot of it is injury, and you can't control injuries. But a lot of this shit is just goofy shit. And it's just like shit that could have been fucking avoided. You left Steph Curry, a non-bozo, in a comfortable situation for this. It just don't make any fucking sense. I mean, I know he wanted to be an entrepreneur and all that shit. But nigga, you in the Bay Area. It's not like you were still in OKC. Bro. You in Silicon Valley. And the niggas who own the Warriors, if you really want to get in the business, them the two niggas you need to lake up. And Gruber, them the niggas you want to get in tune with. If you want business, you know, Gruber owns the goddamn Dodgers too. You know what I'm saying? He's got so much Hollywood pool. He could have did all that shit there. So it just, that's what, KD is a great player who makes bad decisions.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. Makes bad decisions, man. So let's go to this next topic that I wanted to bring up. The super team era. We've kind of been living in the super team era for a good part of a decade, maybe even longer than that, if you want to include Boston. But even with Boston, to me, that was a team put together, super team. And two of them niggas wanted to, all three of them niggas were kind of like at the end of their primes. That's a different situation to me. To me, the super team era was born in July of 2010 when the Heatles came together. So we've been in the super team era for about 12 years. I don't know if the super team era is dead, but I do think we're seeing it's a cautionary tale, and you're walking on thin ice when you're building these top-heavy rosters. You know what I'm saying? You might get a title, but is it worth it? And I know we can sit up here and talk about Anthony Davis trade all day. They won a championship, whether you know you respect that championship or not. They won a championship, but they have not made the play. They have not done shit since. What's your views on? Do you think super teams are going to be a thing moving forward?
I think super teams will still happen, but I think there will be more attention to detail with the super teams. Like, who's the coach? Like, you know what I'm saying? Who are those role players? Because even when you look at the Heatles and the Warriors, shit, even though they were that was a team that outside of KD that was drafted. But when you look at those benches, those were veterans who knew their role, bought into their role, and came in and ready to play. When you got Brooklyn, you got a bunch of young dudes you just threw on the bench and say, hey, let's go get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they added Blake and LaMarcus after the fact, but you know what I'm saying? It's not the same as those teams who had top heavy rosters with three superstars, but you had veterans who were taking that mid-level exception, taking the veteran minimum, who were coming in and locking into those roles. So I think there'll be much more attention to detail. You won't see players like Kyrie say shit like, well, we don't need, well, you don't know what he gonna say. You won't see players saying like, yeah, we don't need a coach. We just need to go play. Like this whole idea that, don't get me wrong. And I think part of this is birthed out of the whole anti-analytics thing. Like, guys don't want to really rock with that. Like, hoopers don't. But at the end of the day, you're gonna have to be. There's gonna have to be more attention to actual team building, as opposed to just saying, "Yo, let me just grab my homie and we finna go hoop."
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think analytics are for front offices. As a fan, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, when they bring a plus minus, me, I automatically tune the fuck out. As a fan and like players, I know they don't give a fuck about that shit, but the GMs and the niggas putting together, they should worry about that shit. That should be putting together and put into a team. Now I'm with you, and I'm gonna say I'm anti-player empowerment, but I kind of am anti-player empowerment. Let niggas do their jobs. Like, I believe that players should play. GM should GM. Front office is your front office. And Stephen A has been bringing this up over the last week, and I do agree. I think we're on the verge of a lockout because of certain things with players getting too much power, with players wanting to sit out games. And I'm anti-load management. I feel like if you can fucking play, your ass should go out there and fucking play. And I know people like, well, it's still a job. It's still a job at the end of the day. Now, of course, it's not like going to a cubicle. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's right. Different. It's different. It's it's a unique job, but it's a job. Just like, you know, when the dress code came out of it early in the deck, you know, early in 20 years ago, and I was never against. I feel like it was going too far. Like, nigga, if you put up the work in a wife beater, what are we doing? Like,
yeah, wife beater, do rag and six chains. Like, what are we doing? Jackson, come on, bro.
Yeah, what are we doing? Like, to me, it's just where's the line here? So I do feel like it's a job. And if you can go out there and play, you should fucking play. And I think from a fan aspect, too, there's some people, you know, now we're blessed. Me and you, we go to a lot of games. We cover games. I'm blessed to know if I need to go to a game, I got a way to get there. There's some people who can't afford games. These games for sporting events are expensive as shit. If they get one game, they want to see a LeBron or a KD or whoever. Right. And you just sitting them out in fucking January just to sit them out. To me, that's bullshit and it's disrespectful to the fucking fans. Now, if the player can't play, cool. That's whatever. But intentionally sitting out, and I had a problem with this when Greg Popovich first started doing this shit. I think we forget he the architect of the low management. And to me, that needs to stop. And I feel like that's going to be a big part in the CBA deals. But as far as super teams, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to go away, but I do think the concept is going to be remodeled. I don't think you're going to see these three bona fide superstars on a team with random niggas on the team because it don't work anymore. Like, when was the last time a super team won a championship? Was it the Warriors? And even with that, like I said, that's a 97% drafted team. Yeah. They just added Kevin Durant to it, but that is as you're seeing with them now, it's the same guys. Like, I was watching Steph and Draymond's podcast, which is pretty good. They've been teammates for 10 years. That is unheard of in today's NBA. Like, you don't see that shit anymore. So I don't think it'll go anywhere, but I do think it will be remodeled that you need to have better culture and better organization, have a deeper roster. So that's why I think we're going to see. But move on to a team that is number one on my downfall list, now that the Lakers and the Nets are out. That's the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going to say this, like I say every podcast when it comes to talk about Doc Rivers, get my Stephen A on. He's a great guy. He's a cool nigga. He's a Chicago legend. He's nice to me. When I met him, we talked about the Chicago Bears for 30 minutes. Y'all have heard me tell this story many, many fucking times. But with that being said, he is on the verge of becoming the first nigga to give up a 3-0 lead. These dudes right here, one of the most unserious basketball organizations, with such a loudmouth fucking fan base. This is a team that was up 3-0, lost the game 5, and B complaining about refs after he told Nick Nurse, stop bitching about refs. And then you out here giving, you know, golf claps, talking about it in the media, and then your dumb ass gets fined. And then we got Sixers fans, you know, acting like Jokic don't deserve MVP. Is just out of my fucking head. And we all know how James Harden don't care shit about basketball. So I'm very high on that. So last night, Monday night, these niggas lost 103-88. Pascal Siakam dropped 23-10-7 on these niggas. Without Fred VanVleet, by the way. Scotty Barnes on one fucking leg. And shout out to Scotty Barnes. I love that he's playing through that. Maybe I'm just old school, but I like players actually playing. And Joel Embiid gives this little bullshit 2011 performance. Now I know his thumb hurts. But I'm going to tell Joel Embiid the same thing I've been telling Zach LaVine. If you are healthy enough to play, I don't want to hear that injury shit. You're going to be judged as you are on the court. And this shit, I think we're going to seven. Like, I predicted at the beginning of this series that it was going to go seven. Now, I didn't see it going seven the way that it's going. But these niggas are going to a game seven. I think there's a great chance they might be the first team to blow it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like you said, the Embiid injury definitely, you know, puts a damper on it. You don't really want to see him lose like that. But at the same time, up 3-0, they got the video of you walking off the court for Drake, talking about I'm coming for that sweep, all that other shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to really take care of business. And, like, the James Harden, the shit is pathetic at this point. Like, I don't really know what to say about bro. He is who he is. Like, I don't know if he has, like, a degenerate hamstring or something. Or, like, you know, it's to the point Stephen A. was on TV today suggesting that he's throwing the series so Doc can get fired and he can get Mike D'Antoni in there. Like, that's how bad he's playing. Like, people have no clue what the fuck is going on. You know, him coming from the guy that we saw in Houston to what he's been the last really last two seasons. So, I mean, for Philadelphia, bro, if they blow this series, Doc is going to get fired. And the crazy thing is, he may be rewarded with the Lakers job if he does get fired. But
rewarded.
I mean, hey, that's a step up from Philadelphia. Like, I don't give a fuck who on the roster. You the coach of the Lakers, yes. I don't care who on the roster, bro. You the Lakers head coach. But this shit is ridiculous, bro. He has what, 3-3-1? Blown 3-1 leads? Three of them?
Yeah, three of them.
He's blown three of those. And then for you to come into this situation, you know, we've seen Doc get real testy with the media lady. When people ask him about his rotations or playing DJ, who is one foot in the fucking grave, but he continues to play him because he don't like going small. But, you know, and he's really testy. Like, you know, we got a lot of guys over here. We know more basketball than y'all than XYZ. If he blows another one, that's going to be a classic press conference because they're going to ask him about it, and I guarantee you he's going to get testy and have something to say.
Definitely, I definitely agree with that one, man. I want the app to collapse. You know, Sixer fans are real loud, man. Yeah, they're just real loud, and I feel like they should. For all that shit, they're like, oh, James Harden here, and it's like, even if they do find a way to win this series, right? They are going to get sent to God by the Miami Heat. Like,
oh, yeah,
after the defensive masterclass that these niggas just did on Trae Young, what you think they're gonna do on Tyrese Maxey? What do you really think they're gonna do if they can shut down Trae Young? They're going to have his ass in hell. So if they do win this series, they're not getting past Miami. But I need it. I need them to blow this. We've never seen it happen in basketball. It's the only league where it ain't happened yet. It's happened in MLB. It's happened in hockey multiple times. I need to see it. And I think there's a legitimate chance it's doing. Do you understand the tension that is going to be in Wells Fargo Center if there's a game seven? There's going to be so much tension for them, for that team.
Man, bro, you lose Thibault for the game in Toronto.
In Toronto, yeah,
bro, this is silly.
More
this is
bozo behavior.
Yeah, you said this is setting up for stupid finish alert.
It's the perfect storm. Like, I was not interested in the series after game three. I'm all the way tuned in now.
Is Van Vliet done for the series?
He just said he was done for the game. I don't think he's playing for the rest of the series. That looked like a bad injury to me. He might try to thug it out if there's a game seven. But now all the momentum is on Toronto's side. And I think Nick Nurse had a nice coach speak, which is a lie, but it's some good shit the coaches said. He said it's no longer 3-0. It was 3-1. That's been done before. I'm like, that's some nice reverse psychology right there. So this team believes they can do it. This team knows that the Sixers are pussy. And I think there's a great chance that can happen. If they win game six, woo. Game seven gonna be a motherfucker, man.
I think game seven, you're gonna see James Harden shit on himself on the court. Like, he's gonna be it'll be literally one of the worst performances you ever see. I can damn near guarantee it. If this goes seven, Embiid gonna be out there with one hand by himself, and it's gonna be ugly. And the boo birds, like, you thought they booed Ben Simmons, James is about to get the same treatment, bro.
Yeah, definitely gonna get that same treatment. But let's go to the other team who, if the Sixers do survive, they will have to play. The Miami Heat. Of course, when you hear this, game five will already be over. Let's just keep it a buck. I'm just going to be Negro Diamonds here. We know Miami won game five. All right, let's just – Atlanta's cooked. They barely won game three. A lucky shot that Trae Young put up after blowing another lead. They got their ass whooped in game four. They're not coming out of South Beach alive. So I'm just going to talk about this series like it's over. And I want to give some love to my nigga, James G. Buckets. Okay. I know Dante don't like Jimmy. I know a lot of y'all don't like Jimmy.
I wouldn't say dislike, but yeah, you're right.
Jimmy Butler, and by the way, has a one of, I gotta give a shout out to all the commercials that have been coming on during the NBA playoffs. There's been some good commercials out there. And yeah. I actually like the Jimmy Butler commercial. That's like peak Jimmy in that commercial.
Oh, but he on the plane?
Yeah, when you're on the plane singing country music, that's peak Jimmy. But Jimmy has been balling out in this series, having like, you know, 30 plus points in every game outside of game two. If you're getting this type of scoring, Jimmy, which I always said he has the ability to do it. He just likes to set people up more, which he said countless times. If he has this, now granted, he'll be playing better teams. Don't want to put too much dip in my chip, but they are playing Atlanta. But if they can get this time to aggressive, offensive Jimmy, I think this puts them with a legit shot to make it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. No, I agree, bro. Because like you said, when you giving them 37 and 5 assists on one turnover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Jimmy is really playing at an elite level. And we already talk about the defense. When you got Jimmy, PJ Tucker, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry.
Even though I think he was
we haven't really seen Kyle, but you know.
That hamstring kind of hurt.
Yeah, that hamstring is kind of hurt. But I think, you know, if he's able to get better, even though his hamstrings are tough, but if he's able to, you know, take it easy and really turn it up a little bit in the later series, then that's added another weapon to Miami. But nah, bro, I can't say nothing negative about Jimmy. You know, he has really, you know, done what he does every playoff. So that's really, he finds a way to be the best player in the series.
Yeah.
Like you said, what they've done to Trae Young is, it's great to watch. Yeah, you got to shout out Spo. But yeah. there was one sequence in the last game where he was being guarded by PJ Tucker from the moment he touched the ball.
Yeah.
Then he got switched from PJ to Bam, and then he got switched from Bam to Jimmy. So it was literally nothing he could do. And like that's going to be a problem for any team in the playoffs, and that's why the playoffs are so different than the regular season, because now you have a coach like Spo who can sit here and basically just set up for your best weapons. Like, okay, we're going to eliminate him by doing this. We're going to do this with that. And so I think, like you said, if they can score like this, and they, you know, right now they got five guys in double figures, it's going to be tough to beat Miami, especially going down into Miami. And I know, like, their crowds show up late, but they still have good crowds.
They have good crowds when the game is on the line. That's really, like, all that matters with that. And I love that they're wearing the white jerseys. I feel like they ain't worn them in a long-ass time. So I love seeing them with them white jerseys. And I would say I love, you know, how they talk about Heat culture. I love Heat culture. I love everything that Pat Riley has built down there. And to see Spo become one of the best coaches in the league is great to me, because I remember when niggas used to act like he wasn't a good coach. LeBron never had a coach. Nigga, yeah, Spo. You know what I'm saying? Spo was a great coach. There's a reason why Pat Riley stepped down. Pat Riley wouldn't have stepped down if he didn't have faith in Spo. You know, see what Spo's been doing. And just that defense, that team puts on the personality of Pat Riley. Even though he's not the coach anymore, they put on that personality. That's what I love about him. P.J. Tucker, I felt like, was a big loss for Milwaukee and one of the main reasons why they won a championship last year. He's going to be a free agent again, and our tourists need to give this nigga a fucking call. I would love PJ Tucker on the fucking Bulls. So that to me is a driving force for this team. And like you said, they're going to have to come to Miami. I think we forget that they're the number one seed, whether it's Boston or fucking Milwaukee. They got to come to Miami. Miami ain't scared of nobody. And it's the first time I feel like Jimmy's always wanted players on his level. Whether he does too much or not is a different discussion. I do feel like sometimes Jimmy does put too much dip on his chip. But in Chicago, I mean, he would get into it with Joakim Noah. You know, Minnesota, he got into it with Cat and all them. Now, he didn't get into it with anybody in Philly. I just think he just didn't want to be around Ben Simmons.
No, he said it. He said he didn't know who the leader was, and he said some of the actions that was being rewarded, he didn't rock with that. So it was a continuation of Minnesota.
Right. And Miami, there's no – everybody knows he's their leader, and everybody fucks with Jimmy. Everybody is under – they follow. He's actually a leader here. And it's like everybody's on the Jimmy Butler page. And even you got a guy like Kyle Lowry who's won a championship. It's like they're one and two. Like they're neck and neck, and I think that helps them a lot. And so I wasn't big on Miami all year. But if I keep seeing the scoring prowess from my guy Jimbo, I'm fucking with Miami. Let's go into our team. The beloved, the Chicago Bulls. Now, since there is no third pick podcast this week, because I will be in Vegas, we're going to get into a little bit more deep Bulls conversation than usual. Now, the Bulls are down 3-1. And when you listen to this tonight, their season will end. Let's just keep it a buck. Now, last week, in typical Chicago sports fashion, now I said this in our group chat that we have, that I don't know if you noticed, But every big home playoff game for any Chicago sports team, when momentum is on their side, never goes right. Over like the last, outside of the Blackhawks, we're going to move them from the equation because they won championships and they won big home games. But if you take the White Sox or the Cubs or the Bulls or the Bears, never goes right. And I understand the Cubs won a championship this decade, but if you remember correctly, they didn't win them home games. They won a championship on the road. So when it comes to those big home games, momentum, crowd type, it never goes our way. So the Bulls won a big game too. 41 points from DeMar DeRozan, big shots at the end. Coming home, Chris Middleton is out for the series. Momentum is on your side. They get their asses completely beat. And maybe one of the worst Chicago sports weekends I've ever seen in my life. It took me a legit 5 hours to calm down on Sunday, watching them getting their ass whooped and then watch Byron Buxton walk off the White Sox when first base was wide fucking open. I just, you know, and I feel like as a Bulls fan, we don't want to put too much in it because remember we all said, if they just won a game, it's cool. They won a game, whatever. I'm still just like, you see the difference in between what the Bulls are and a championship team. What's your thoughts in this series so far?
Yeah, it was a reality check that a lot of Bulls fans needed. I didn't need it. Like I said, at this point, once they won that one game, I knew my series was over. I was like, okay, they got they won. You know what I'm saying? Clap it up for that. But like you said, with the Middleton news, it did give people just added optimism that they could do something. But like you said, in true Chicago fashion, it's crazy. It really seems this way. But it not even seems this way. It's fact. This has happened time after time. But you go into a game where they should have won, you know what I'm saying, or at least should have came out looking to put your foot on their neck. And, you know, what the reality is, the Bucks did what championship teams do, and they banded together and just beat their ass and showed them, like, no, we're just a better team than you. Like, we could lose two or three guys, and we still going to kick y'all ass. Yep. And I really think that's how the Bucks feel, and the Bucks have stepped into this. And, you know, as far as Zach, he's playing coy about the knee. Obviously, the knee is an issue, and I think, you know, him going into COVID protocols really saves him from having, you know, explain that more. But, you know, that's just bad timing. Vooch is, like I said, Vooch is Vooch. He's not the guy that, you know, we all have, you know, dreams of the Joker. And that's the guy that we believe is their main target in 2023. So Vooch is always more of a stopgap guy. And really, more than
Vooch has had the best series out of big three. Now, granted, it's very low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, it's not asking for much, but and I agree he has. But also, you know, my main thing with this team is the fight or the lack of fight. Like, yeah. Especially that game coming back to Chicago. It's yeah, like, okay, we can – game three, they got their ass beat early and often. Like, yeah. they folded. And, like, when you start to see that type of energy where a team is just demoralized, it's like, all right, bro. Let's keep this moving. Kobe White, he don't need to be there no more. Y'all dog Pat Williams, he can go. I think you really need to see more. You need more athletic wings on this team. I think you have, when I say athletic wings, I mean athletic wings that can score. Like, yeah. We got guys who can, you know, do a little bit defensively, not even not much, because we've seen with Lonzo, with the head of the snake going, when Lonzo's not there, Caruso's not there, shit falls apart. But, you know, you have, you know, your Derrick Jones Jr. and all those guys. You know, he can dunk and shit like that. But you need three-point shooters. Like, Javante yeah. Green, he's cool. But that can't be one of your, you know, primary wings off the bench at all. Like, that's an end-of-the-bench guy on a championship team. Like, he yeah. shouldn't be getting high minutes for the ball. So you need three-point shooting. You know, we did lose Zoe. You know, we can keep bringing that up. But at the same time, even with Zoe, they shot the least amount of three-pointers. And one thing about having DeMar is cool. But at the same time, you're never going to win trading twos for threes. Never. Right. Yeah. And like with Zach, I won't say Zach regressed this year, but Zach didn't take that step, especially offensively, that I thought he was going to take.
Too passive,
he was too passive. I know he was banged up with injuries, whatever, but he was just too passive offensively for me.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a team where DeMar is your number one guy, you got to surround him with shooters. Like three.
That's the problem.
Shooters.
He shouldn't be your number one guy. And that's the issue since he's got there. I blame Zach way more than I blame DeMar. I don't think DeMar is coming to here like, oh, nigga, this is my team. I really feel DeMar wants Zach to take the reins. But I just feel like I don't know what it is, but all season, and especially in these playoffs, it's like he defers to DeMar. It's like DeMar will, like, I feel like sometimes it'd be time DeMar be looking at him and like Zach don't look. or Zach be sitting in the corner. And it's like, I need more aggressiveness from him. Like you said, he's been hurt. That's cool. His hurt, only thing is his knee change for me was just he's just not as explosive. That ain't got nothing to do with you being aggressive. Now, he was aggressive in game four, but what was that the first three games of the series? I need more of that. And long term, and I know they had this big debate about it on Bulls Twitter, which is a dumbass debate to me. Zach LaVine is going to get his money. He's not going to get a Supermax because he's not going to make an All-NBA team, but he's going to get his $190 million. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's supposed to get the $90 million, $190 million. But you need to look at this from a perspective of how are you going to upgrade from that? You know, if you're not going to re-sign Zach, who else are you going to get? So he's going to get his fucking money. I don't think that's the issue. But in order to move forward with this, he's got to take a leap. DeMar has to be the number two or the number three. And DeMar had a career year for this. I'm not expecting this nigga to hoop like this next year. Like, at all. I'm not expecting that from him at all. And you need bigger bench players. And I think me and you, we talked about this in the group chat. I don't think the Bulls should make any drastic changes next year. I think this summer, you roll it back. See if you can get you something in a trade for like a Kobe White. If you need to, package Vooch or whatever, see what you can do. And that 18th pick is going to be very valuable. You can get some stuff for that, put that in the package. But I think the number one thing the Bulls need to look forward to, one, whether or not Jokic signs that extension is going to be a big thing. Now, I personally think he's going to sign it because I will live in fucking Kentucky for $265 million. That's a big number right there. We haven't heard anything about him being unhappy in Denver. So no. I do think there's a big chance that he will sign that extension. Now, if he doesn't, then you got a shot next year. But for this year, get Zach healthy, get you some better others. They need three-point shooters on this team. Need some 3-and-D guys. You need a backup center. The Tristan Thompson experience was god-awful.
Yeah, did not work. Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because I'm looking at the stats from the series. Guess who leads the league? Not lead the league. Guess who leads the Bulls in blocks this series?
Vooch?
That is Caruso.
Caruso, yeah.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, Caruso's all over the place. He plays defense, but your fucking point guard cannot be the team leader in blocks. Like that, that's unacceptable. That can't happen. And so, like you said, bro, it's really, as much as people want to use these moments, like we always do, to focus on the big names on the team, and like as much as you want to shit on those guys, the supporting cast, if you improve this supporting cast, I think you can have them jump into that second tier in the East. Because the reality is, you're not going to be elite until you have a superstar on this team. That's just reality, bro. If Zach didn't take that leap that some people thought, like me personally, I never mentioned him with Devin Booker again.
Ever. That. I apologize. That's for done.
Shit. Yeah, that was like, in hindsight, we look crazy as fuck for even saying that.
Yeah, so he's more talented.
It was the vision. Yeah,
but he's not better than Book.
Yeah, he's not better than Book. Book is an assassin. Like we talk about them Kobe disciples, Book is one of them. Like Book is one of them ones.
Yeah,
but so for the Bulls, like you said, really getting healthy is going to be key.
Keeping Lonzo so
Ball,
healthy.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball, because you already committed the money to Zoe, and like if he continues to be hurt, then that takes it away from his trade.
He's
value,
not so. Injury prone, but he's pulling up the injury prone boulevard.
Yeah, he's close. His pops, his daddy called him damaged goods. So,
when the fuck LeVar said that
on their Facebook show? This was when he went to New Orleans.
Oh shit!
Yeah, but no. So like. No, but I think, the meniscus, he got the surgery. He took care of that.
And longer recovery time. He'll have a longer offseason. And so I agree with that. And I feel like, with the thing, and Zach's 27. Zach isn't like 24 or some shit. Like, he's in his prime now. So you need him to take that leap. And as far as DeMar, I'm not finna, hot take it up with DeMar. I know I was cussing his ass out on Twitter. And by the way, don't pay attention to anything I tweet mid-game. I am in a blind rage 99% of the time I watch my teams when I tweet. So anything I tweet is not coming from a place of stability. All right, so let's just keep that. So I give props to DeMar because I truly feel like this team will be a play-in team with all the injuries and shit we did if DeMar didn't put us on his back for like 2 months. And DeMar only missed, three games this year? DeMar was very reliable. So I give DeMar that. But with that being said, he's just not a playoff performer. It just is what it is. We've seen it in Toronto, and we saw it this year. He's just not that guy when it comes to the playoffs. And that's something that Bulls fans just got to accept.
Yeah, you can't have him as your number one because you got to think right now he's averaging 23-6-2 and 6-4. So, I mean, that's cool for my three guy, really. Yeah. And like you said, that's being bolstered by that 41-point game he had. Like, he's played like shit in every other game. So I'm with you. Like, no, like you got to know your personnel. And like knowing what we know about DeMar, you know, we ain't got to here. I know everybody want to get mad at Raptor fans who kept selling us all season. Like, well, wait till you get to the playoffs. But he's showing you time and time
Raptor
again.
Raptor fans were like us when we were telling Knicks fans about Tibbs.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah. And I think a part of that is it's easier to stop the mid-range in the playoffs.
Oh, like, for sure. 100%.
Like, you're making the floor even smaller.
And playoffs are about adjustments.
Yeah, the Zach
Bulls
said this.
They cut that line off. They haven't been going to the free throw line. Milwaukee made great adjustments, and the Bulls did nothing. And that's just – DeMar's skill set works better when you have three-point shooters you can kick it out to. Like, the Bulls have got some good three-point looks. When you got Kobe weak-ass, and I'm done with Kobe. Kobe needs to fucking go. He's trash. Like, he's shot like 30% from three since fucking February. And Pat, it's my thing, but y'all know I've been a big Pat guy, and I'm not going to completely
– tweaking.
I'm not going to completely get off the bandwagon with Pat. I'm just saying the Bulls don't have time to wait for him to grow. And I am not opposed to trading this nigga anymore. So that's what I will say about that. But, you know, we will have a season recap, you know, and long-term. The Bulls had a great season. You know, all the shit they done went through, 46 wins, making playoffs, 15-game increase, all that. But they KME going to make their money this year. They're going to make their money this year with what they have to do with this team moving forward. And one last thing, Zach, how the fuck you get COVID four times, dog? Like, one or twice, whatever. But what the fuck are you doing to get COVID four goddamn times? I especially with a nigga who's vaccinated. What the fuck are you doing? You're doing something stupid. So that's all I got to say about the Bulls, man. Me and Mariano will recap the season next week, man. But just a couple more things before we wrap this up, man. I want to talk about Grizzlies Wolves and why I think the series sucks. I thought on paper this is going to be one of the best series. But I don't know if you heard Summer Sessions last week. My brother said something about, yes, this is the most talent the NBA has, but none of these niggas lack fundamentals and these niggas lack like good basketball IQ. And you are seeing that on display in this series. Game four made me want to put a bullet in my fucking head. Just bad defense, bad shooting, bad shot selection. And Ja Morant, I love Ja, but he talked too much shit to be this MIA in this series. What do you think he had? 4 points in game four?
I was like, game four was nasty. Game four was nasty.
Game one, it had his ass locked up. Like, he really only had one good game, quote unquote, and that was game two, and it wasn't spectacular. And the Grizzlies are a team that talks too much shit for a team that ain't done shit. And the Wolves, as talented as they are, they might be the dumbest team in basketball. The way you can't give up a 21-point lead in a game is inexcusable. But giving up a 21 and a 26-point lead in the same fucking game, what are we doing? And it's just like it's just not good basketball. I am not enjoying this series.
Yeah, bro, and I pulled up the shot chart for Ja, and bro he's shooting 35% from the mid-range. He's shooting 47% at the rack, which is actually pretty bad when you're at the rack, my nigga. Like, at the rack should be 50 and above. I think we all know that at this point. And so, like you said, they've really been able to neutralize him, and that's caused problems because you got to think Desmond Bane has really saved their ass.
Yeah,
like if he hasn't been playing the way he's been playing, like last game, even though they lost, he's playing out his fucking mind. Yeah. Like if Desmond Bain isn't playing the way he's playing, then they could be very much down in this series. And so for me, I agree with you, bro. This is one of those series that resembles a run at LA Fitness that we talk about all the time,
nigga.
Where you get the brick, foul, brick, like
and the foul, my nigga. Oh my god, that game four was like baseball game length.
Yeah, and Carl Anthony Towns, like.
So stupid. He's just a dumb basketball player, bro.
This guy, like,
talented as all shit, but he's stupid.
Yeah, somebody's like, hey, no, this nigga needs to find himself. Like, the talking because you talking just because you mic'd up. We in Minnesota now. This is not you, bro. Just be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Do your thing. This is like the second or third time this year
People then he want to get a deep voice after game four. I really want to just shut the fuck up, man. Like,
yeah, no, yeah. People were really, people have really gotten on him the last couple months because he made the comments about Russ and shit like that and just going on like that. And it's just like, bro, just hoop.
I love shit talking, but only shit talk when you can back that shit up. Like, yes, Russell Westbrook had a bad season, whatever. Nigga, you would chop your foot off to have the fucking career that Russell Westbrook is at. Yeah, like what are we doing?
Don't shit on a guy like that. Like, don't do that.
Like, let's not do that. So it's just like, I don't know who gonna win the series no more. Both teams are equally stupid. It could go either fucking way.
I'm still picking Minnesota, but I feel you. It really gonna go anyway.
This could go, and it don't really matter because whoever loses the series, I'm gonna tell you, they're gonna get sent to God. They're going to get sent to our Lord and Savior. Oh shit. Jimmy Butler's out for game five.
Oh shit, what's wrong with him?
Knee inflammation.
Okay.
Knee inflammation. Well, the Hawks might actually win.
I still think they're gonna get smacked. I think Trae Young is so cooked right now, like mentally. I don't think they got a chance.
Well, by the time you listen to this, you'll know what happened. But that game, I'm not watching that game tonight. White Sox are getting my full attention.
I'll be at the stadium, so I'll be watching Marcus Stroman.
But like I was saying before, as I wrap this up, whoever wins the series is getting sent to our Lord and Savior. Very quickly by the Golden State Warriors. Like, it's not even going to be funny how much they're going to get their ass whooped. And so, and really, I ain't even got nothing to say about the Nuggets series outside of you should have just lost. Like, honestly, you just should have lost. You're delaying the inevitable. The Warriors didn't even try in game four. And if it wasn't for Steve Kerr doing a brain dead lob to end the fucking game, this series would be fucking over. I don't know about how you feel, but I'm one of the niggas when it gets 3-0, just end the fuck series. Like, I don't need this shit to be extended.
We've never seen it happen before. Like, it would be dope to see it. Like, if Toronto does pull this off, it'd be dope. Awesome. But usually when you're down 3-0, it's like, all right, bro, get this shit over with.
Yeah. One last series we're going to talk about. Suns-Pelicans, man. This shit has got turned up out of nowhere. Game five will be at the Smoothie King Center on is it Wednesday, right? I think it's Wednesday. Looking at this shit right here. Actually, that shit might be.
Hold on, we ain't gonna talk about the god who returned.
Oh,
young Luka.
Oh, how I skip over that? My nigga Luka. Thank you for bringing that up. My nigga Luka. That's my favorite young nigga right here, Luka Doncic. Then put these niggas in a fucking body bag. Disgusting. What he did in game five was a masterclass. And I have been speaking the gospel of Luka on this podcast all year. This nigga is the most untradeable asset in the NBA. I love Giannis, but this nigga right here is incredible, bro. He is fucking the Jazz up, putting a foot in the ass, not even fully healthy, and just going out there looking good. And it's not just Luka. The Mavericks are a good team. Jalen Brunson. Shout out to you, young man. You are finna
get price is going up.
Aid, nigga. You are finna get paid. The others on this team have been stepping up. Oh man, Kleber, he's been hitting every three from all over the fucking court. Fucking Finney Smith. This whole team believes in him. And Jason Kidd has beat the bad coach allegations. He is coaching his ass off. And whoever wins that Phoenix New Orleans series, hey man. Dallas got a shot to get to the conference final. I'm loving everything I'm seeing from the Mavericks.
Yeah, no, Luka coming back and putting on the show he put on. Like, I felt like somebody was gonna try to clothesline him at one point because he was really clowning.
Whiteside tried,
and when he was hitting the shimmy, he was staring down the crowd like he was really in his element, bro. And like when you have him come back in game four and to combine that with Donovan Mitchell getting hurt in the fourth quarter, you know what I'm saying? Utah. We may see them finally break this team up. Like, I think it's about that time. You know, you brought in Mike Conley a couple years ago, Joe Ingles towards ACL, then you traded him, which is wild as hell. I'll never get over that. That's dirty as hell, but that's the NBA.
Yeah, they did that, man. Bro. Yeah. Bro, they could at least wait until the offseason, bro.
Yeah, that was filthy. But I think you're about to see Dallas put them out their misery, and we really gonna get rid of the Utah Jazz.
Like, and Giannis is probably not going to play game six. He fucked his hamstring.
Exactly. Like that. And so, now you banking on Bogdan and, Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson. No, I don't think they have a shot.
I think Damian tweeted it last night with the old yellow pick. It's time to take Conley out back. Like, it's time to take Conley out back.
Yeah, it's over. He had a great run.
if anybody complaining about what Zach LaVine's finna get played, Mike Conley gets paid $22 million a year. So I'm not really trying to hit his shit. All right. I never thought Conley was that guy ever. Has this nigga ever made an all-star team?
No, he hasn't. It's always gonna be like whenever they make these rules about maxes and super maxes.
It's gonna be niggas like him. Yeah, who got it's gonna,
I think Mike Conley is the poster child. Besides the guys who got that one super max, like you know Chandler Parsons and all of them, but like Mike Conley has gotten several, and most of them were just a product of circumstance. Like I'm in Memphis, I'm the best player on the team. They kind of got to give me this motherfucker. So let me get this check. So you know, like you said, shout out to him. He's had a great career, but it's about time to end
it's
that.
Over,
like,
bro.
It's Jazz, over. You have to go in a different direction.
Bro, I love all like Luka is. Luka's my guy. I just love Luka. Luka is. Steph is my number one, but Luka getting up there, man. Luka is the guy that I'm officially caping for the next 10, 15 years. I'm just letting niggas know right now. But as I'm saying about Suns Pelicans, that game five is actually Tuesday night, so as we're recording this now. I do think Phoenix will win game five, but I will say this. This is going seven. This series is going seven. The fucking Pelicans and all these young niggas, who I love, they're not scared of the old heads, bro. Like, that's one thing we're seeing. It's not on no disrespectful shit. It's just on some, this our time shit. Like, remember when Desmond Bane got a dunk early in the season? And the usual thing that in any years past, LeBron would have sent his shit into the fucking 300 row. Didn't send it, and he told his ass, them footsteps ain't scaring nobody no more. We saw Jason Tatum not scared of KD. We just seen, that was a game early in the season where Luka called ISO on LeBron four times. I ain't never seen no shit like that in my life. You know what I'm saying? They went on JJ Redick podcast. I want to be guarded by the best. Like, you seeing these young niggas don't care. And as you're seeing with that, they don't care about Chris Paul. Jose Alvarado is outdoing Chris, doing the Chris Paul to Chris Paul.
Yeah. In the Erickson that's been of the fun series. To see. Yes.
It's been fun to see. And I don't think the Pelicans will win this series. I do think, you know, home court advantage and, you know, experience will outbeat them. But I really love what the Pelicans have built. And Zion, I need him to wake the fuck up. I understand you don't want to be in a – which is funny to me that a nigga from South Carolina thinks New Orleans is too good for you. Nigga, New Orleans is New York compared to fucking South Carolina. So that's just funny as hell, period. But if he want, if he actually plays again, I really love that core of what they got in New Orleans with Zion, B.I., C.J. has been great. Herbert Jones has been a great fucking find. And Willie Green, great coaching, man. I love what they're doing in New Orleans.
Yeah, no, definitely, bro. It's going to be – like I said, I still think the Suns win that series. But, yeah. I mean, if I'm Zion, I see the energy in New Orleans and I see the players around and I see how they responding to Willie Green. You got to at least give him a shot. You owe him that. Yeah. At least giving him a year. I know people are assuming he's going to try to force his way to New York and any of that shit. But
if
like,
I was David Griffin, I'd tell him, kiss my ass. You were under contract. You ain't going nowhere. You're just going to be mad, nigga.
It would just be, you know, this nigga Jock Peters is going crazy. Fuck the White Sox. But
there is a special place in hell for Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
There's a special seat in hell.
But nah, bro. Like I said, I think the Suns will still the talent's gonna you know way out. But though these injuries, bro, that's been one of the more unfortunate parts of this playoffs. You are seeing a lot of good guys get hurt. Not saying I only want to see Bums get hurt, but like
we only want to see Chris Paul get hurt.
Right, but we've seen a lot of injuries that are really affecting these series. So I think Willie Green is the biggest indictment of Steve Nash. You see what he's doing with the
nigga who was sitting on Steve Nash bench. Ime Udoka is a big indictment on that nigga too.
Yeah, like and he's about between that and getting outcoached by a rookie coach, like you're really getting cooked right now. Like, so shout out to Willie Green. He's definitely doing his thing.
Shout out to them Detroit player, Midwest guys. And you know, one thing I also like, that's how you fight against a team that missing is one of his best players. Bulls. That's how the fuck you fight. That's the shit I like to see from that team. But I will say this. They're going to need Mr. Devin Booker and his Adam Sandler fits to beat Big Luka next round. Big Luka coming. And he's finna put Chris Paul in a blender. It's going to make me so fucking happy to watch Luka fuck Chris Paul up. They're going to need Devin Booker to beat the Mavericks, man. That's going to be a big fucking series. Now, last topic of the podcast, I put on here shit is, you know, changing the guard, but I feel like we kind of addressed that on this episode already. I think the big question now is, you look at the landscape of the NBA, you know, with the injury concerns with the Suns and them having problems with the Pelicans, We don't know Chris Middleton's status. You know, the youth of the fucking Celtics, the Heat, still they're dealing with little injuries too. Are the Golden State Warriors, should they be the new title favorites?
I'm going to say yes. I would think, you know, the return of the core being healthy, and I think that's what's key right here. The core is actually healthy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Clay, I've been not surprised, but
I've been really surprised he looked this good this early.
Not only that, like, if you watch them play, like, Clay has added things to his game. Like, he's actually going to the rack now. He's trying to actually take niggas off the dribble. Things that early young Clay, he wasn't doing it at all. He was just content with being a great shooter and just killing you that way. But, like, you've seen those added parts to his game, and then you bring that into with a healthy Draymond Green, and now Steph is back being Steph. And then you add Jordan Poole to that motherfucker. You know, a lot of people, nobody expected
the real most improved player of the year.
Oh, yeah, that was a travesty. Like, by the way, that was some bullshit.
And by the way, Ja knows some bullshit. That's why he gave his trophy to Desmond Bane.
Like, it's a joke, bro. Like, you really going to really see it give it to a lottery pick who won rookie of the year?
He was rookie of the year.
Like, that's a fucking that's terrible.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I do think they're the title favorites. My biggest question mark for them coming to this postseason was injury. How is Steph going to look? How is Klay going to look? How is Draymond going to look? Now, granted, it's the Nuggets. I'm going to keep saying it. It's the Nuggets. I don't want to – I want to see them against better competition, but the reason why I'm not worried about that, because they've been here before. They've won. When you got a veteran team like that, and we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, these three niggas have been teammates for over a decade. That shit is unheard of in today's NBA. Really, in sports in general. Like, there's so much. That's why I think we don't really have rivalries in sports anymore, because there's so much roster overturn. Now, there'll always be rivalries between the fan base. Fan bases will always hate each other. When I die, my last four words will be fuck the Green Bay Packers. And so that there's always going to be like that between the fans. But when the players, there's so much roster overturn that I don't think the players hate each other like that. So with them, you see this camaraderie they got is on display. And Jordan Poole has been such a perfect addition to this team. You know, everybody, all these little weak-ass names, PTSD is a weak-ass name. You know, I know Stephen A. Smith kept bringing Lethal Weapon 3 every episode, but I like mine. Splash Lot Family is what I'm going to keep calling these niggas, man. They the Splash Family right now, and all three of them are great. And should Steph come off the bench? Let's stop this shit. All right, no. Steph's coming off the bench for this series to get himself together, but next series he will be starting. And the new depth lineup is incredible. And I want to give a shout out to Andrew Wiggins, who I'm obviously not a big fan of. And Draymond said the same shit. People who really watch basketball, he's having a phenomenal series. What he's doing on the defensive end has been great and has really added to that team. So I do feel like they should be the favorites. You know what I'm saying? Now, of course, injuries can't happen, but that's the team. If I had to bet my house, I bet it on Golden State.
Yeah, Draymond one of the few niggas when he say, for those of you who really watch basketball, you actually pay attention, because he actually saying some real shit. A lot
JJ
of
Redick said the same shit.
Yeah.
JJ Redick said the same shit. And by the way, Draymond's the best defender in the NBA. The way he locked up that steal he had on Jokic in Game 3, chef's kiss.
And everybody using everybody using this to trash Jokic. Like, nah, Draymond's just nice, and he's helping.
What do you want Jokic to do? That's the other thing too. I know I sound like a Jokic stan, which I kind of am, but look at what the nigga is doing, G. He, like, his two best players are hurt. And the fact they not a playing team without MAGA Porter Jr., the most overrated light-skinned nigga ever, it tells you a lot about Jokic.
Your hate for these two light-skinned niggas is just really amazing to see. Because you love everybody else, but them two?
You know how Damson Idris has the dark-skinned nigga society? I have the light-skinned nigga society. It's me, Steph, Clay, Chris Brown, Drake, and we just inducting Jordan Poole. Jamal Murray is not welcome in our circle, okay? He's just not. I got to give credit to Jokic for that. And it's always from Sixer fans. That's who it's from. That's why I want to see Embiid get bounced. I actually like Embiid. I don't like his fans, so I want to see him get out.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. I fuck with him, but that's all we got for y'all. They're long episodes, a lot of stuff to get into, man. So we wanted to give y'all a lot of content. I'm enjoying these playoffs, and I think the Elite Eight round in the NBA playoffs is going to be even better, because now the niggas who, the fat is being trimmed off.
Playoffs. Every year, it's like this every year. Like, I think we probably get four really good six game series next round.
And for all y'all anti-play-in niggas, we would not be enjoying the Pelicans right now if it wasn't for the play-in. So one of the few good things that Adam Silver has done, even though he's not my commissioner, it's my man Big Raj. By the way, if I run into Big Raj in Vegas, I'm getting the pickoff. I'm fucking Roger Goodell. That's my
guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll walk the floor. He's definitely going to be there.
I'm definitely looking forward to everything. By the way, I want to give a big shout out, everybody. We got up to $2,000 in donations. Big shout out to y'all. Because 2 weeks ago, when I got the email from the NFL, I didn't know how the fuck I was getting to Vegas. I had just paid my expensive ass rent. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do a GoFundMe. We'll just see who. And I was overwhelmed with the support. I didn't think we would get that much. So shout out to y'all. Me and my brother are going to be doing podcasts every day. So expect the podcast once every day. And we're doing video. We're going to do all that shit. Looking forward to it. Check all that out. We appreciate y'all. But you know to follow me and Dante, man, at Barb Chescott, at October Zone Tay. Let them know what you got going on with MLBBro.com. I know you just talked to Jazz. What other stuff you got going on?
Yeah, bro, I definitely got a dope little quick interview with Jazz Chisholm. Cool dude, you know what I'm saying? And today I'm headed out to Marcus Stroman's pitching today. So, you know, the Braves got three games with the Cubs. So that's going to be a hot series. Tismet.
Yes, I'm a hater.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I know the Cubs travel with a lot of people, not only fans, but like media too. So I'm interested to see how the press box is going to be because like Major League Baseball, the press boxes have been like damn near 180 from what you see with the NFL, bro. Because like even with the NFL, it's a little more professional. You know, you got your little clicks where people are sitting there talking, but like you'll get there for an MLB game and 2 hours before the game, they're like yelling across the press box, like talking, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So it's been interesting to see. So I want to see, I know the Cubs media team is a little deeper than most teams. So yeah. I know they're going to have a few people in there. So I think it's going to be a dope week.
Yeah, man. Shout out to that, man. Check out everything he's doing over there. You know, we like I said, no Cinemas of Guys this week, no Summer Sessions. Pretty much the only podcast you're really going to get this week on the network is Balled On Live. There's a new First Black Champ out right now with Jar Bang and Cam from the Port. Check that out. That's really the only thing you're going to get this week is we're going to be in Vegas giving y'all a lot of draft day content. So look forward to that. And we'll be back next week, man. You know to follow us at Barber's Chair Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you're watching this right now, that means you're a Barber's Chair All Access subscriber. And we appreciate y'all. This is the first month in like a long time we had no subscribers leave. So shout out to y'all. We're going to keep hitting y'all with a lot of fucking content, man. So, and me, Dante, and Mikey will be back next week with an episode of He Gone. We've had some scheduling issues over the last 2 weeks. Hopefully the White Sox have their head out their ass by the time we fucking record. That's what I would love to do because it was going to be complete D-Day if we'd record yesterday. We originally planned to. And me and Pierce will be breaking down 40-40 Club. We're going to give a salute to my nigga Miggy, 3,000 hits. Got to give up to him, man. So a lot of content. So you're coming over to y'all over these next week. So we'll holler at y'all, man. Y'all have a great week.